This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Across the street from the beautiful Gothic chapel in Sewanee, there is a path into the woods marked by an old carved sign, Abbo's Alley. As you walk down the well-worn trail of soil, leaves, and uneven steps, you are submerged into a magical little cove in the forest. Sprinkled with side paths and weathered benches, small tables, a labyrinth, and small elegant statues, the path leads to a babbling brook that runs through the center of the cove. Stone bridges allow you to stroll back and forth across the stream, examining flora and fauna, nestling nose into blossom. Often the sound of small children playing poo sticks in the stream or finding some forest treasure they're eager to show friend or parent can be heard. This is one of the first places Chris and I found when we moved to Suwannee in the summer of 1986. It was where we would go often after church on Sunday or on particularly lovely days or when I needed a break from the rigors of a serious theological education, or Chris needed a break from her work as a 22-year-old charge nurse at the hospital, or when we just needed to talk and pray about something important. Abbo's Alley came to mind to me recently because of a letter all the clergy in the diocese received from Bishop Doyle. It was sent to invite us all to recognize this Sunday, today, as Theological Education Sunday. This is remarkable in that the Episcopal Church has designated a large number of Sundays throughout the year to draw our attention to other important ministries that we do as a denomination. In fact, if a parish decided to do them every Sunday, we could neglect the lectionary entirely. So with the exception of a few, St. David's does not actually observe these, and Bishop Doyle does not weigh on them either. So this letter was significant. And he asked us to tell our story of formation. He also asked us to continue as a parish, to continue to lift up candidates for ordination. And to quote his letter, "The church needs wise and emotional mature leaders to shepherd the days ahead. Our prayerful discernment and encouragement help call them forth." And finally, he asked us to give financially to our alma mater, sadly citing that most do not, falling far behind other alumni giving for other universities. So in reverse order, I do give to Suwannee annually. And just, it's important for you to know that. And I give to this church annually. And it's important for you to know that. Chris and I have skin in the game in both Suwannee and here at St. David's. And I think if you're going to claim a church as yours, or if you're going to claim a university as yours, you should have skin in the game too. Also, I'm happy to announce that St. David's regularly lifts up people in the discernment process. We currently have one person from St. David's at the Seminary of the Southwest, our beloved Casey Clough. We have another who was just approved to go before the Commission on Ministry in January. And we have one discernment committee meeting with another parishioner right now. And we have another parishioner who has just returned from a discernment retreat and is ready to form their own discernment committee too. So all this to say, the door to the ordination process is open here at St. David's. And the Lord calls us at various stages and ages of our lives. And so if it is something that you would like to know more about, I urge you to call one of us clergy and let's have a coffee and talk about it. But before I talk about the last thing he asked us to do, my own theological formation, I want to make sure that you're at least aware of where formal theological education takes place in the Episcopal Church. At one time, there were 11 seminaries spattered around the country. But due to mergers and a departure of one seminary over the last decades, we now have 5 standalone seminaries and 6 if you count the vital and important work of the Iona School here in Austin. Seabury Western, Mother Hope's alma mater, I got to have to shout out to that one, right? Merged with Bexley Hall back in the 2010s and is now part of a theological federation commonly known as Bexley Seabury in Chicago. The others include Church Divinity School of the Pacific, or CDSP, which our own beloved Bill Bennett is a graduate. A General Seminary merged with CDSP under the leadership of Trinity Church Wall Street, and they now work together with campuses on both coasts. CDSP, nestled in the beauty of Berkeley, California, offers an MDiv and a certificate in Anglican Studies. And by its presence in East Bay, it collaborates to create the Graduate Theological Union, offering a PhD, the only one in the Episcopal Church. Neshota House is tucked into the woods in Wisconsin. It serves as a strong Anglo-Catholic presence formed out of the Oxford movement. They offer an MDiv, a hybrid learning, and advanced degrees. My predecessor and your good friend, the Reverend David Boyd, was a graduate of that beautiful place, and you benefited from its influence the whole time. He was your rector. Virginia Theological Seminary, or known as VTS, is set in Alexandria, Virginia. It's the largest of the accredited seminaries in the Episcopal Church. Offers a number of professional degrees, programs, diplomas, MDiv, Master of Arts, Doctor of Ministry, and several non-degree programs. So VTS's connection to the Diocese of Texas is long and huge. They have a library named after Bishop Payne, and they educated our own bishop, Andy Doyle, and I would say they have educated probably the majority of the clergy who have served in the Diocese of Texas over the life of the diocese. Many of the curates and associates that you remember here at St. David's were educated at VTS. Much closer to home, we have our own seminary in the Southwest, which you all know very much about because we're kind of in daily contact with our friends at SSW. It's just a couple of miles away. They're a vital part of our life at St. David's. We benefit from clergy who are graduates, including Father Kristen and Mother Carol and Deacon Carter at Trinity Center. But we also welcome countless faculty to teach our classes, as well as a steady string of seminarians over the years. And we clergy here are often lecturers in classes at the seminary, Southwest. They offer an MDiv, in Latinx concentration, and one in chaplaincy and other diploma degrees, and a master's degree in mental health counseling, which is, I think, one of their larger programs, of which my son Colton is a graduate, and the same degree with a Latinx focus. It is also the home of the Iona School, which I mentioned earlier, which is a vibrant, vital school that prepares people for lay ministry as well as an alternative master's of divinity for those who cannot go to a residential seminary. Our own facilities director, Michael Holder, is a graduate of the Iona School and with a lay certification, and he practices that around us a lot, but mostly at St. James in Maynard, where he attends. So the diocese also works with those who have had their theological training outside of the Episcopal Church. Our own Chad McCall received his MDiv from Duke Divinity School, and then he did some Anglican work at the Seminary Southwest and was welcomed into the Episcopal Church. This happens usually with graduates from Duke and from Harvard, Yale, and from Chicago and other schools. And finally, well, my beloved Suwannee. How I love you, how I love you. The School of Theology at the University of the South in Suwannee, Tennessee, is set in the incomparably beautiful forest of the Cumberland Plateau. It is regularly named one of the most beautiful universities in the United States, but it's far more than a pretty face. It sets its sights on providing devout, learned, and useful leaders, both lay and ordained, for the Episcopal Church. Devout, learned, and useful, that is tattooed on my forehead. It offers MDiv, Masters of Arts, and Masters in Sacred Theology, as well as diploma programs, several advanced degree tracks, including three doctorate of ministry programs. And many of you are actually graduates of the university. If you studied EFM, Education for Ministry, do we have EFM students here, graduates? You have a degree from the University of the South. This is a vital ministry in the church that trains lay leaders in a deep theological exploration of the life of faith. I'm currently the only clergy graduate that works here, but you will remember several curates and associates who were formed by the cadence of life in that sacred place. So back to my own formation experience. As you step out of the gentleness of Abbo's Alley, you step into a town of several thousand people, all of whom are in one way or another committed to the life of education and formation. When I got to Swanee, I was introduced to the 15 other people in my class with whom I would study, pray, play, and struggle over the next 3 years. I was the youngest by a few years in my class, and I was far younger than the average age of the whole seminary population. In fact, Chris was 22 and I was 26, and our life experience was far closer to that of the university students than it was to those in the seminary. We were also introduced to the professors who were responsible for leading our formation. Literally gowned in black robe, they often felt like something out of a Victorian novel. But in reality, they were very modern educators, taskmasters, and holding us to the standard required to serve as a priest in the church. There were people bent on making sure that we were prepared to engage the world outside of that mountain with fidelity and hope. So I, like everyone else that arrives at seminary, showed up with a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of closely held beliefs. And many of mine were kind of new to me because I was a new Episcopalian. So I had the fervor of a convert as I made my way into the classroom. The first work required of a seminarian, however, is to allow all those beliefs to be dissected, and actually in public, in front of this class of 16. I remember vividly the comments on the top of my first theology paper, a paper which, along with atrocious spelling and grammar, was filled with a lot of first-person singular opinion about the topic. The professor wrote in red and in colorful language that I will not share from the pulpit at St. David's, that he didn't care one whit what I thought. He wanted to know that I knew what all the great minds of the faith throughout history thought. And then he would be interested in hearing my opinion. You know, this just seems like a snapshot of the primary purpose of a theologically rigorous education. It is to dismantle us, really, and allow the Spirit to recreate us into something that might be useful for the kingdom. And this dismantling is often as unpleasant as it sounds. Because seminary is a crucible. It tests a person physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. There's something about being so intimately immersed in moment-by-moment conversation, experience, and encounters with the holy that, to use a proper theological term for it, can make a person a little wiggy. This dismantling is also lovely and grace-filled. Community is built out of strangers, friendships forged with people with nothing in common except the Episcopal Church and being stuck on the same mountain. Theology is hammered out in classrooms and chapel and around bonfires and walks through the fog and sitting on the edge of the Cumberland Plateau, watching Tennessee roll off into the horizon. It is often hard, but it is more often beautiful. Because this dismantling is not designed for cruelty. It's designed for recreation. It's designed to turn a person into a deacon or a priest or a bishop of the church. So last October, Chris and I went back to Suwannee for homecoming. The air was cool, leaves were just beginning to turn like you want it to in October. And after church, we headed down the familiar path to Abbo's Alley. And we did what we always do in that precious spot, mostly now, remember. We remembered all the other times we'd walked that path, sometimes with friends or with the brownie troop that Chris led, or with each other, or alone. We remembered tears in that valley. We remembered loneliness and uncertainty. But more, we remember beauty and love and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so now, after 35 years of ordained ministry, I find myself filled with gratitude for the formation I received in Suwannee. And having dear friends and colleagues who are well-educated from other seminaries, I am deeply grateful for the formation they received as well. And if given the chance, I am sure they will all wax just as romantically about their alma mater as I am about Suwannee. And I hope you, as committed Christians and Episcopalians, feel a little pride here at the end of this sermon. Pride about our seminaries and what they do. And I encourage you to learn more about them. Give to them. Support them if you can. And if you're ever on the road between Nashville and Chattanooga, head west when you get to the top of the Cumberland Plateau. Go through the gates of this little village and let your angel go for the day. Park in front of that beautiful Gothic chapel. Go across the street, down a little path marked Abbo's Alley. Because magic awaits. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.